Chapter 14. She looked, as expected, terrible. The tubes were mostly gone, leaving heavy bruising around her mouth and cheeks. Her skin tone, which had been a pale brown, was now a pale grey. Intravenous lines still ran in clusters from her arms and chest, and a nasty-looking monitor in the shape of an iron skull was clamped to her forehead. It took her a moment to recognise him, it seemed. The lumens in the chamber were set low, and Zidorov hunched on the room's only chair, pulled up to the cot's edge. The rain drummed against the windows, leaving black streaks across the armour-glass panes. When her eyes finally focused on him, she managed a smile that was more like a grimace.
"Zido," she said.
Zidorov didn't really think their friendship had been that close.
"Eborodina,"
he replied softly. It felt like an intrusion suddenly. She croaked something and he reached out for a plastic cup, which he filled at the sink and handed to her.
"So, how's it going?"
she asked and cracked another lopsided smile. He smiled back.
"Ah, well, you know," he said. "Are you feeling better?" "I feel like death."
"You look worse when I visited last."
"Imagine I did."
Zidorov reached out for a drink of his own. He could still taste chems at the back of his mouth and felt vaguely light-headed. He might have to ask Vipa for something before leaving, just to get the sludge out of his system.
"Are you good to talk?" he asked. "If not, we can do..." "I don't know who did it," Borodina croaked. "Sorry, I didn't see them."
"What happened?" She thought back, her brow wrinkling. The monitor flashed a red light and she winced.
"I was following a lead. The Vidora were getting active. Something to do with off-world shipments. You know that's been getting harder. It made everything difficult."
She took another sip.
"I was closing in on something. That feeling you get. Things in your sights. I was getting near."
Zidorov let her talk. He deactivated all but critical-level comms from his iris intake. He didn't activate a recording, just let her get her thoughts in order. She suddenly looked distressed.
"I remember, I think I was... So, I remember worrying. They seemed to be all over our movements. Remember when we talked at the Bastion? I was due to head back then, and when I did, my contact was missing. Dead, most likely. But we'd been careful. So... I remember thinking that my veil link might have been breached. It happens, I guess. They crack a protocol or something. I did some work, sent a trace back to the analyzers, but got no reply. Then I had to go after one of the first, who I knew was deep into something on the Colossus platform, one of the big receiving disks. But I couldn't find him, and I'd taken on Rovac for protection because it was getting snaky up there."
She needed to drink again. Her words tumbled out a bit, her parched lips moving quickly. Her hands lying on the coverlet twitched a bit.
"So we got a call from Silka, a Vidora First Circle working up there too." She smiled. "She had oversight of the Yizan cell, the one I put you up for? Small world. Anyway, I knew that was a fake or a mistake because she was dead, all part of what I was working on."
Zidorov frowned. "Dead? Are you sure?"
Sure. There'd been a lot of cabal run-ins. Remember what I said about the balance breaking? It's why I wanted Rovac. So I knew this was something else and went carefully."
Her expression crumpled a bit.
"Not carefully enough. We were jumped. Heavy armour, heavy weapons. I should have got a squad in. And now, Rovac..."
Don't get agitated," Zidorov said as gently as he could. He was bursting with questions now, but forced himself not to blurt them all out at once. He was a professional. These things, they happen. She blinked heavily.
"That's all I remember. Getting out of the ground car, lots of guns, shredder rounds, I think."
"They were. And they did enough to put you down hard."
"I remember it hurting."
Zidorov laughed.
"I'll bet."
He leaned forward, elbows on knees. "Did you see anything at all? Any identifiers?"
It was dark. They came out so quick. They weren't exactly advertising themselves.
But you thought the Vedora might have cracked your veil link.
The analyzers could tell you that.
So it might have been them?
Yuti told us it wasn't. Yuti? Fuck, has he been in here?
This thing kicked off quite a storm. Borodina's eyes widened a bit, then she chuckled weakly.
Hells, I don't know, I really don't.
The other thing he said was that Silka was killed by one of ours. They've been busy since this happened.
So, I know that's not true, said Borodina. Silka was up to her neck in something under the suborbital platforms. It was a mini war up there, or getting that way. The thing with the off-world routes. There's a lot of slate in who controls those. I think she was killed when things started getting out of control.
Do you know who by?
That's part of what I was working on. I don't. I heard rumours of an off-worlder, someone who brought some heavy gear down from a void transport, someone new. Not much to go on.
It's something. Sidorov noticed that she was sweating now. It looked like she was getting tired. Look, I'm going to leave you now. You need to get back together. Borodina smiled weakly.
What for?
She coughed for a while, then took another sip of water.
If I'm right, if my veil link was cracked, it's all over for me. You get that? Basic mistake. Who knows what else they heard?
It's just a suspicion.
Yeah, just a suspicion.
Sidorov got up. Don't think about it. Work on getting back into shape. That's the only thing now. Borodina nodded, making the tube at her neck wobble. The monitor on her forehead began to strobe red, meaning that she was being fed sedatives.
Oh, you know what?
Didorov said, turning back as he reached the doorway.
You could do me a favour. Keep that stuff about Silka to yourself, eh? Just for a while. We're going to look into this, but I could use a bit of space.
Borodina nodded, but she was slipping away. It might have registered. It might not have done. Zidorov smiled wryly to himself. Going quietly, he clicked the door open and slipped out. The bastion was occupied throughout the night, 26 hours a day. Every floor was still fully staffed, crewed by menials staring wearily into their terminals. Outside, the rain ran down the armour glass windows, gurgling along the gutters. It was still hot, though that would change soon, once the storms really started. The bastion's internal controls were slow to react, as ever, and the whole place felt sticky and damp. Zidorov headed down to the refectory. He poured a cup of caffeine from an auto-dispenser and browsed across a rack of tepid-looking carb bars. He picked three, then put one back, then went over to an empty table. He rubbed his face. He yawned, feeling his jaw stretch. He could go home. He might get an hour or two's sleep. But then home wasn't as relaxing as it had been, and his mind was buzzing. He still hadn't had time to act on what Alina had told him, and Borodina had thrown more yeast into the mix. Better probably to stay at it. It took a few moments for him to realise that he wasn't alone anymore. He looked up sharply to see Lena Vastiva smiling at him.
"Long night?" she asked.
She was in her work clothes, the dark grey suit, hair tied back. It always took him a moment to recognise her as the same woman when he ran into her at the bastion. Her expression just then was hard to read. She might have been pleased to see him, might have been irritated. Hard to blame her if she was. "Throne," Zidorov swore, and glanced around him. The refectory was half empty. He barely recognised any of those sitting at the tables, and in any case they seemed to be minding their own business.
"Should you be here?"
Vastiva laughed.
"I work here, remember?"
She took a sip of her own drink.
"I think you used to too."
Zidorov slurped. "I'm a little on edge. Not enough sleep."
"Yeah, you and me both."
He looked up at her. He felt off guard, caught napping, but felt like he had to say something.
It's not easy right now." "I know."
"I like what I've got. I want to keep it. I don't like sneaking around."
"No, I get that."
"So there are times when..." He struggled for the words.
"When you wonder whether it's worth it," she shrugged. "That's your decision. You know the answer. But you're a big boy now. I can't make your choices for you."
Zidorov chuckled sourly. "Between you and Georgiou, I reckon there's a niche line in motivational speakers here."
"I want to help."
"Everyone wants to help."
"What can I do?" Zidorov sighed and started eating.
A little space, maybe, he said, chewing. Not for long. I've got this case, and...
You'll always have a case, Sido. She finished her drink and made to get up. As will I. Anyway, just so you know, I'm still here. It's all still good. But you need to think about what's important. Truly important.
He found he didn't have a reply to that. So he watched her go, and that made him feel worse than ever. He finished eating. He drained the caffeine. That at least filled his stomach and washed down the worst of the chem taste from his mouth. Then he got up, rolled his tight shoulders, and headed for analysis. Bastian Yu had a pyramid staffing structure. At the top, nominally speaking, were the probators, tasked with the actual investigations. Many times more numerous were the sanctioners, charged with keeping order and providing armed backup. More numerous still were the analysers, the small army of functionaries who kept the administratum functions operating. Some of these were specialists, such as the forensic Verispec staff. Some were mute servitors who hauled vellum bundles from archive to archive. A large chunk of the department were data miners and equipment scrutinizers who spent their days poring through the mountains of information provided by the many Auspexers used in the field. They were overworked, as a rule, prematurely aged, made spiteful and pernickety by their labours. Still, their chambers were neater and smelled better than the norm. If you knew what you wanted and could put up with the sarcasm, there were ways of getting it. Zidorov made his way along the corridors until he found the chamber he needed. It was nondescript from the outside, just the standard door, nameplate, auger lens. He depressed the summon chime, and a few seconds later it slid open, revealing a man who looked like he died several weeks ago, but had somehow forgotten to lie down.
"Hello, Skribo," said Zidorov.
Revy Skribo grunted and let him in. Zidorov had to pick his way to the desk, which was surrounded by a bizarre collection of reliquaries, half-opened Auspex units, piles of wiring, printed circuit boards, some cracked picto lenses, six polished skulls, sealed equipment crates, and a lone felid that sat atop a pillar of teetering vellum bundles, flicking its tail. Skribo himself was a small, skinny wretch, barely filling out his cream-coloured tabard. His hair was thinning, his cheeks wrinkled. He had long fingers and a squat nose, and moved jerkily, like a spider, through all the mess.
What do you need?
Skribo asked, turning back to the splayed carcass of a remote sensor box. Some of the stuff Skribo did should really have been turned over to the tech priests. One day, Zidorov had always thought, the Lex mechanics would burst in and his little hobbies would all be over. Until then, though, he had his uses.
"I need a personnel tracker," Zidorov told him, looking to find somewhere to sit and failing.
"Very small, very discreet. Assume the person has routine anti-scanner tech, probably augmetic. It needs to get past that, remain undetected, last for a few days." Skribo laughed dryly.
"Oh, easy then."
"I know you've got them. I've seen them used. Come on, for all the times I've helped you." The felid's tail twitched again, and a pair of bottle green eyes turned to stare at him. Skribo remained busy with his work.
"You'll need a warrant from a senioris, cleared by Castellan."
"I can't do that." Skribo looked up.
"Oh, I might want to know why."
Zidorov accessed his personal funds. They weren't looking too bad, all things considered, so he blinked to withdrawal. It was a lot by his standards, but then Skribo wasn't cheap. The analyzer barely flinched as the transaction hit his iris.
"You want it bad," he said.
"I want it to work," Zidorov said. "I want full spectrum, lots of detail, absolutely no risk of detection." Skribo sighed theatrically.
"No such thing. Everything has a risk, probator. No system is foolproof. No scatterfield is perfect.
Yours are.
Course flattery has no effect on me. But the money I just sent you? That carries a bit more weight, yes."
Skribo reached out to a battered metal chest of drawers and activated a fingerprint lock. One of the drawers slid out, revealing a whole tray of tiny surveillance devices, all neatly placed in field-protected boxes. He pressed the lid of one box, and the field snapped out, giving access to a small metal pin the size of an insect. It was mounted on a metal square, which Skribo levered out and handed to Zidorov.
"This one's both clever and nasty," he said. "Get it pinned on your subject, and you'll get several days. It's scan-proof and has a nominal light-bender aegis once activated, virtually invisible. You'll get Audex and hollow footage when it detects moving objects, fed right to your terminal here. Only about 30-foot range, so you'll need it close to whomever you're after. The output's full hollow, so you don't need to worry about sight lines."
Well, that's no problem, said Zidorov, stowing it carefully in an inside pocket. Just what I was after. Just between you and me, yes? As always, unless I get a better offer. Zidorov smiled wearily. Oh, one other thing. Who's analysing the equipment brought in by Probator Borodina? No idea. Could you take a look? Skribo tuttered, pushed the sensor box to one side, and activated a terminal. His thin face lit up with phosphor glow, and his long fingers skittered over the control pad. Section 6, he said. They've completed the work. Has it been filed yet? No. Skribo looked up and his dark eyes flashed. Neither eye was the one he'd been born with, and the throne only knew just what he saw with them. Pull the report. Skribo sat back and folded his arms. Why would I want to do that, Probator? Because I've already paid you more than the scanner's worth, and I'm one of your best customers, and you have a noble, shining soul. What do you need it for? A favour for a friend. It'll help a case I'm working on. Nothing else that anyone needs to worry about. Skribo thought about it. He looked again at what Zidorov had given him, looked back at the terminal, then pressed a few buttons. It's off system, he reported. You're not interested in what it said. I know what it said. As long as it stays buried, I'm happy. Skribo shrugged. As you wish. Anything else? A Phobos bolter? A divinator or specs? Zidorov looked around. You ever get claustrophobic in here, Skribo? Ever want to stretch your arms out? Skribo looked up at him from heavy-lidded eyes. I pulled it off system. I could push it back any time. Ah, then you'd have to give the slate back. He edged his way back to the door, deliberately giving the feelid a threatening look as he went. Thanks for the scanner. Look after yourself in here. Skribo didn't reply. He was back to the sensor box, pulling it apart, looking as happy as he was ever going to get. He headed back to his cell. It was still dark outside, a grey-black shadow at every window, but the bastion had an air of coming to more vigorous life again. The first Dionys shift had started, and the corridors were half full of men and women coming and going, either bleary-eyed from working too hard or bleary-eyed from not getting enough sleep. Dawn was not far away. He'd grab another shot of caffeine at some point, find a pulse shower that wasn't too disgusting to use, clean himself up a bit. First, though, he had to calibrate the personnel tracker and make some checks on his system. It felt like he was juggling a number of things, all or none of which might link to one another. Over it all hovered the spectral presence of Von Geller, who would want answers soon. When Zidorov reached his terminal, he saw that Brecht was occupying the next cell. He looked as dishevelled as Zidorov felt, and smelled vaguely of alcohol. Brecht, like Draj, smelled of alcohol so often that it almost stopped being noticeable. For a long time, Zidorov had found it amusing. Now, years later, he wasn't so sure. There came a point where it stopped being a crutch and became a master. Not that it was easy to broach the subject, and he wouldn't have known where to start. They all had their problems, their secrets, their little internal demons. Going well, then? Brecht asked, stirring himself as Zidorov took his seat. Zidorov flicked the terminal activation. Stella, he replied. You? Keep him busy. But Georgiou didn't look busy. He looked lubricated. He pushed his chair closer to Zidorov's desk, peering over as he gently unpacked the tracker device. Is that one of Skribo's things? He asked. Maybe. So, you've hit a wall. Zidorov put the tracker down carefully and leaned his elbows on the desk. Not really. I was right. Of course you were. You uncovered that mole yet? There wasn't one. You seem sure. It was a lapse. They hacked a probator's iris connection. Brecht let out a low whistle. Whose? It doesn't matter. But I'd sent the messages, and they were picked up, and so that's that. They saw me coming, they cleared out. I think they were planning to clear out anyway. Things are in flux. Where does it leave you? Zidorov shrugged. Where I was before. It's still all shit, only now I can see a way into something that isn't. He looked into Brecht's bloodshot eyes. They were in focus, at least. Did you know that Udmil Tereshova isn't Adiaird's mother? Fuck, is that right? From what I'm told. So this all looks stranger than ever. Why did she come to us? She hates him. It never felt right. But I did uncover some things. First, Adiaird's link to the Vidora was real. He was itching to do something with them. My guess is cell draining, which we know they were doing, right up till they got shunted out of it. It must have seemed exciting to him. Plenty of slate, lots of danger. He managed to get in touch with a First Circle member working out in the suborbitals who was involved in a running war for control of the import sites. I guess he thought that she was his ticket to the big time. Only she's dead now, and whoever killed her likely killed him, or took him hostage, whatever. You don't sound overly concerned. No one is, except his father, maybe. But I do care about hooking bleeders up to machines and selling what comes out of them. Everyone tells me the same thing. Imports are difficult, prices are rising, something's wrong in the void. That's a chance for some people. You can make some slate by hawking stem cultures in Varangantua. You can make a fortune by getting it off-world. Georgiou looked unconvinced. So what did the Vidora want with this boy, then? I don't know. Zidorov leaned back in his chair and scratched the back of his neck. Contacts, maybe? He had legions of them hanging off his every word. Young, stupid, stuffed with topaz. Maybe he delivered them. Maybe that was why they wanted him. Georgiou continued to look unconvinced. Then who took out Borodina? They want us to think it's the Vidora. I don't buy it. The same crew that took out Borodina are behind this thing with the Tereshovas. They're the new force in the suborbital trade, the ones making Yuti shit himself, the ones the rejuve traders want to deal with. I need to find an off-worlder. An off-worlder with access to shredder weapons, who's taking orders from someone powerful enough to corner the trade in stem cultures, who's driving the cartels we know about into more honest work. That's all you got, then? An off-worlder? It's a start. There aren't that many of them. Breck chuckled. So, what's next? I'll get up there myself, to the ports, talk to those being squeezed. Someone will know a name or a face. But not yet, Zidorov smiled. Not yet. First, I've got to put a tail on the one person I know for sure has been pulling all our strings. He took up the tracker again, pinned against its metal backing. Udmil Tereshova.